B-Pod Studios.
Nap. Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich. 5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
I'm Joe Exotic, and today this is not going out to any kind of a presidential candidate or any politician. The purpose of this video today is to let you know who I am. First thing is, I am not cutting my hair. I'm not changing the way I dress. I refuse to wear a suit. I am gay. I've had 2 boyfriends most of my life. I currently got legally married. Thank God it's finally legal in America. I've had some kinky sex. I have tried drugs through the younger years of my life. I am broke as shit. I have a judgment against me from some bitch down there in Florida, but I can tell you I paid a fine with the USDA, and that is nothing but a civil fine, ladies and gentlemen. It does not mean that I was accused or convicted of any kind of animal cruelty thing. I built one of the biggest facilities and the nicest facilities for exotic animals in this country as far as a private individual goes. I'm Joe Exotic, and don't forget, I am now stepping my foot in the ring to run for president. And this is all paid for by the committee of Joe Exotic Speaks for America.
.985 the Sports Hub. That is Joe Exotic's campaign video. We have played that for, I guess, a couple years now.
Yeah, since 96, I think was... Oh, not 96, 2016, I think, when he was running. Is it right, or was it an old video before that? But I know we've been, for at least 4 years...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich. 5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
I'm Joe Exotic, and today this is not going out to any kind of a presidential candidate or any politician. The purpose of this video today is to let you know who I am. First thing is, I am not cutting my hair. I'm not changing the way I dress. I refuse to wear a suit. I am gay. I've had 2 boyfriends most of my life. I currently got legally married. Thank God it's finally legal in America. I've had some kinky sex. I have tried drugs through the younger years of my life. I am broke as shit. I have a judgment against me from some bitch down there in Florida, but I can tell you I paid a fine with the USDA, and that is nothing but a civil fine, ladies and gentlemen. It does not mean that I was accused or convicted of any kind of animal cruelty thing. I built one of the biggest facilities and the nicest facilities for exotic animals in this country as far as a private individual goes. I'm Joe Exotic, and don't forget, I am now stepping my foot in the ring to run for president. And this is all paid for by the committee of Joe Exotic Speaks for America.
.985 the Sports Hub. That is Joe Exotic's campaign video. We have played that for, I guess, a couple years now.
Yeah, since 96, I think was... Oh, not 96, 2016, I think, when he was running. Or was it an old video before that? But I know we've been, for at least 4 years now, we've been on the Joe Exotic train.
All right, Tiger King is Netflix very lucky because it's a pandemic and people are watching lots of television. And Tiger King about, among other things, the life of Joe Exotic. Has been tremendously successful. Robert Moore has written about this. He has a podcast. He's been following this story for a long time. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're on the West Coast. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate it. So what got you originally interested in Joe Exotic?
Yeah, it's a funny story. I'm a magazine writer and an author by trade. And so I am always have an eye out for a quirky you know, strange story. And one day I was reading the LA Times and I saw an article that said Michael Jackson's alligators burned alive in zoo fire. Oh, that's kind of odd. So I click on that. I read the story, and one of the characters' names is Joe. Not one of the characters. One of the person on the zoo is named Joe Exotic. They didn't list him as Joe Schreibvogel. They listed him as Joe Exotic. And that Joe Exotic, is that a real name? And I do a Google search on Joe Exotic, and of course I just fell right down the rabbit hole like everyone else does with Joe Exotic because he was just so strange. And so I pitched it to an editor at a big magazine, and he said, yeah, go down there and, you know, just scope it out, see what's going on with this guy. So I went down, and Joe actually gave me a trailer at his zoo, and I lived there for a week, and I just followed him around, you know, morning till night. And as the week went on, Joe started to get more and more open about his desire to kill Carole Baskin and his hatred of Carole Baskin. He told me at one point he had a gun set aside with her name on it. He said he was going to go down to Florida. He said he dreamed. He said, I never used to dream about seeing someone's brains on a wall. Oh, and he would say these things on the record, like with the recorder running. And I think, Joe... Say, Joe, this is on the record, man. Like, you shouldn't be telling me this. And he'd say, I don't care. She has drove me to that point. So I knew that there was a great story here, but, you know, it was like no one – at that point, it was 2015. Nothing had happened yet. There was no shape to the story. So, you know, the magazine ended up killing the story, and I waited. And then finally, when he was arrested in 2017, I knew, you know, I went back. I visited the zoo again in 2017. I went and visited Carol and Howard a couple of times. You know, I spent a lot of time interviewing everyone. And then when he was finally arrested in 2018, rather, I knew I had a great story. So I pitched it to New York Magazine, wrote a long feature for them, and I pitched it to Wondery. And we created this podcast, a 6-part podcast. It's now called Joe Exotic Tiger King, which is out now.
Okay, so when you spent a week with him, first of all, that's got to be, like, just the characters that he's surrounded by. I mean, was there any memory of anything that stands out as being, like, people are not going to believe this when I tell them that this happened?
Oh, no, I mean, everything was like that. Everything about it was, like, it was surreal from the moment you walk in the door. Because, you know, you see in the documentary, you walk in, everything's got his face on it, right? There's Tiger King condoms and lube and underwear and candy and toys and, you know, T-shirts. He walks in, he's got a film crew with him. You know, he looks exactly the way he does in the documentary. He's got the tattooed eyeliner and all these tattoos all over him and stuff. And tells me about his Prince Albert, that's the size of a master padlock. And
wait, is that true? Because that was the most disturbing part of the documentary to me.
I confirmed that he and John Finley have matching
Ew.
Prince Albert. Yeah.
Matching? Well, that's very romantic. Oh. But the size of the size of a master lock is very disturbing. That is disturbing.
It is. I know. You should hear. We're putting up a bonus episode on the podcast of him describing it to me, and you can hear me cringing to my bones when he tells me that.
Oh my God. Well, okay. So I mean, I could talk to you for an hour, but one of the main things that most people are getting out of this is that whereas everyone thought going into the documentary that the villain was going to be Joe Exotic, I think most people start turning in a different direction once they meet Carole Baskin. At first, I mean, the guy who made the Netflix thing did a pretty much a masterful job at like taking you through like what you should think about each of these people, and then voila, he's not what you think they are. Carole Baskin, the biggest question in all of it is her husband that she had, who was worth millions, just disappeared, and nobody knew where he was. And people are speculating, even like family members of this guy think that she fed him to the tigers. What impression did you get? What did you learn? Was there any nugget that makes you think what actually happened?
Yes, I need to be really careful here because there's really strict laws around libel and slander when it comes to accusing someone of committing a murder, especially someone who has never convicted or named a suspect. However, what I can definitely say is it's very suspicious. There's a lot of details there that don't add up. There's a lot of stuff that was in the documentary. You know, that van that was found that belonged to Don at the airport, the seat in that van was pushed too far back for his legs. You know, so someone who was taller than him was driving that van. There was no flight manifest showing any flights had taken off that day that would have been his flight. So, you know, if he took off, it would have had to have been, like, secretly, which is basically impossible at that airport. There's a lot of details like that. There's also things that aren't in the documentary that we talk about in the podcast. And I posted on my Twitter feed, I started a long thread of things that, you know, sort of the documentary didn't tell you, that's gone absolutely viral. You can find that at @RobertMoore_MOOR on Twitter. So one of them is that after Carol's husband, Don, disappears, you know, so Don filled out a restraining order against her, right? And then he said she's dangerous, she carries a gun, she threatened me. Also, another odd detail, his signature on that restraining order didn't match the signature on the power of attorney, basically his will. And I asked Carol about that. I said, why does the signature on this not match this? And she said, oh, well, Don's basically illiterate, so he always signed his signature differently, which is, oh, you know, like, that doesn't make any sense. And then after that, she has another boyfriend, this guy named Jay Baikal, about 2 or 3 years later. And he fills out a restraining order against her. And in that restraining order, he talks about how she would talk about her dead husband, basically alluding to his death, his murder. And there was a property next door that they were digging up. And she said, oh, I hope they don't find any bones there or I'm going to be in big trouble. You know, all that does not necessarily add up to guilt. Obviously, it's not enough to convict her, but it's very suspicious. And actually, I've been hearing that more people are stepping forward as we speak, to say that there's more information about this. So that case, actually, if you keep an eye out for that, because that we might see some developments about that in the next, like, month or two.
There's no question, Robert. There's, like, you know, what do they talk about? You know, when something, you know, it's there was a friend of mine does a podcast called Up and Vanished, and he, it's my cousin. He did this thing where he started talking about a long-lost murder and started doing some investigating. And just because the story blew up, a lot of people around the story felt comfortable talking about it because they're like, okay, well, this is something that, you know, people want information on. I've got it. I guarantee you find out there's going to be some sort of event or arrest or some major evidence that comes up in the next couple of weeks. I guarantee you're right about that with her.
Yeah, I mean, that's the feeling right now. And that's why her family, you know, so Don's kids did not want to talk to me for the podcast. And I don't think they wanted to talk to Eric and Rebecca for the documentary because Carol has threatened to sue the pants off of them, you know, and the same with Anne McQueen, Don's old secretary. They were really afraid to talk publicly, but they said, you know what, we're going to do it one last time because hopefully between this podcast and this documentary, this will finally get out there. We'll finally see some new development because they don't think the police investigated properly.
Did you ever feel in danger? Like, did Joe Exotic bring you in to actually meet us? Because he loves showing off to people how close he gets to these tigers. At any point, did he try to get you to go near them? And did you have any hesitancy?
He didn't. No, he never brought me inside the cage. He did get inside the cage a lot, and he did a lot of dangerous things. He was also just, like, very fast and loose with guns. You know, he would shoot guns. I saw him shoot guns basically at one of his employees' feet one time because he wasn't moving fast enough. Like, just maybe 8 feet away from him, but, like, to get him to hurry up. He was very, very reckless. But the thing that the time I was most nervous was after I left the zoo. I started investigating him and started interviewing all of his employees. And one of his former employees told me, you know, when you go to that zoo, you need to be really careful because they have a system set up down there for death. He said they could have you killed, butchered, and fed out to those tigers in 15 minutes. And it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it's basically true. They used to take cows and horses and butcher them up and feed them to the tigers. And so the next time I went back to the zoo was 2017, and that's when Jeff Lowe was there, the new owner of the zoo. And I was interviewing Joe in the gift shop, and Jeff Lowe was standing like 5 feet away just glaring at me with these cold blue eyes that he has for the entirety of the interview. And it made me very nervous. I suddenly thought, I'm alone in this zoo in the middle of winter. There's no other customers here. And I'm, you know, there's no one around for miles. I'm in the middle of nowhere in rural Oklahoma. I need to be very, very careful right now.
No, so is that the guy with the affliction shirts and the Oakley hat? Is that who you're talking about?
Yes, and the do-rags and the... Yeah.
How did he get so many attractive women?
Oh, I have no idea, man. I think that there's a thing. This is a piece of the puzzle that maybe some people don't get from the documentary, is there's something about tigers and lions, that they have an extreme power. You know, that because they are so big and beautiful and dangerous, being around them, it's almost like a drug. And people will do things for that drug. I mean, the most shocking thing to me, almost of anything, is the story of Saf. You know, Saf is someone who went to work at that zoo. Saf is former military and really dedicated himself to that zoo because he wanted to take care of those tigers. He loved taking care of the tigers. He told me when his arm was being ripped apart by a tiger, the first thing in his mind was, don't make too much noise so none of the customers hear, because that would get Joe in trouble. You know, and you can imagine what it takes to you know, make that effort. And then once his arm was amputated, he went back to the zoo. Like 5 days later, he was back working there again. It's just wow. Incredible. And you hear story after story like that. That's one of the things that I was surprised you don't hear people say. Almost everyone at that zoo says, I'm here for the animals. I'm not here for Joe. I'm here for the animals. You hear that over and over and over again.
Well, okay, so before we let you go, the one thing you seem to be adamant about on Twitter when people are asking you is that, you know, a lot of people who are watching this, you know, Joe Exotic's almost become like this folk hero, or like, you know, the guy you almost root for, which is weird, but you think that, you know, you've spent the time with him, you've done all this research, you do not think he is a good guy.
No, this whole free Joe Exotic thing needs to stop. Joe is a bad guy. He was a sexual predator. He ruined these young men's lives. I interviewed Travis and talked to his husband, who ended up, you know, shooting himself. And you know, he was completely depressed. He was trapped in that house. He couldn't communicate with his family. He had to talk to his sister through a messaging app in a video game because Joe wouldn't allow him to communicate with her. You know, it was horrible what he did to these guys. It was horrible what he did to his employees. It was horrible what he did to the animals. He shot five tigers in the head, and he definitely hired two hitmen, but especially Alan Glover. He gave that guy $3,000, gave him a burner phone, sent Alan Glover's old phone up to Las Vegas, and then told, you know, he and Jeff Loeb had a plan worked out where Jeff was going to text messages periodically from that phone so that everyone thought Alan Glover was in Vegas. And he even is on tape talking to James Gerritsen saying, me and Jeff got it worked out to where, you know, Alan's going to go down to Florida, and if he gets caught red-handed, we'll just say we fired the MF-er, and he went off the deep end. I mean, he essentially confesses the entire thing on tape. Alan didn't end up doing it. Yes, Jeff Lowe was involved. All those things are mitigating factors, but, I mean, he's guilty. He's just obviously guilty.
All right, Robert Moore, great stuff.
I could talk to you all day.
So could I. At Robert, M-O-O-R _, and he wrote a very extensive article for New York Magazine. What's the name of the podcast again?
It's called Joe Exotic Tiger King. You can find it on iTunes or, you know, Spotify. It's on all of the major platforms.
We do appreciate it. Thanks so much for the insight.
Thanks so much, guys. Also, yeah, if people want to follow me on Twitter, at Robert Moore, M-O-O-R _, we've recently announced that the podcast is getting made into a feature film starring Kate McKinnon as Carol Baskin. So if people want to tweet at me, they can suggest at me or at UCP, they can make suggestions for who they think should play Joe. I've already gotten a lot of really good ones.
Okay. I suggest Paul Stanley from Kiss. But thank you so much.
Mark Wahlberg, he plays everyone else.
Yeah, if you shoot it in Boston, he'll do it. All right, Robert Moore, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys. This was fun.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
I can't think that could be interesting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On National Doctors Day, I want to say thank you to all the doctors, nurses, and all of our healthcare heroes who are putting themselves at risk every day to provide care and compassion for their patients. We are all singing your praises. And remember, together while apart.
Now off to have a nice grilled hot dog slice.
He just showed on TV. It was a report that the owners are expected to approve the 14-team playoff bracket today, and they're showing a montage of the owners, and it shows, like, Robert Kraft, nice and put together with his tie, and then it shows, like, Arthur Blank, and then it goes Mark Davis, and he's just once again wearing, like, a white sweatshirt. And he's, I mean, just a, I hope that he owns that team until he dies. He is just the best juxtaposition. He's the one thing that keeps all of this interesting to me. I guess that they've got some weird deal with the devil out in Las Vegas where, you know, they've called off all non-essential workers. It's just like here, like you're not supposed to be out there unless you work at like a restaurant or a pharmacy or something like that. But somehow the city has finagled with that these construction guys have to continue to make that stadium out there.
There's like people doing construction around here. So, I mean, yeah. I think that construction workers are considered essential, if I'm not mistaken.
See, I think that there's some construction that's deemed essential. I don't know why a stadium is deemed essential.
Because they need to get it up, baby. Because the city needs it. City needs it when they come back.
I think you just said it. I mean, I think that's all somebody's paying someone under the table and going, hey, you're going to keep this open. This is going to be essential.
Oh, yeah. If they're getting an NFL team and they need a stadium, oh, sure. You don't think they're going to work on that bad boy?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know, like, because there's been guys who wear white. Like, you know, there's been Tom Wolfe, who wore white suits everywhere he went. My mm-hmm. wife worked for an ad agency where the guy wore a white suit all the time. But never
Gandalf,
has there
been... He used to wear white? Only after he was killed by the Balrog and he turned from Gandalf the Grey. So it was a transition, not always Gandalf
really?
The White.
Yes, now, was so. Gandalf a good guy or a bad guy?
Oh, Jesus, Fred.
Come on, Fred. Even I know that
what
one.
Are you
come on.
About? He is the greatest of all wizards, of course. He is the goodest of the guys, if that's what you're saying.
All right.
That's his title, The Goodest of the Guys.
The Goodest of the Guys. That was the name of the fourth unwritten book by J.R.R. Tolkien in the Lord of the Rings quadrilogy.
But he wears... He only wears, like, sweatsuits. White sweatsuits.
Yep.
And not even sweatsuits. White sweatpants. White sweatshirt. In like a fanny pack.
No, he wears white jeans. Like, he's one of the few
jeans.
People I know that okay. wears white jeans. Like, men. Because women wear white jeans. Like, he's one of the few men that I've seen wear white jeans before.
Yeah, that kind of stopped around, like, 87.
and you got to imagine he's a sloppy eater. So white is probably not the best thing to wear. I mean, I've seen him crushing popcorn and Cheetos or cheese balls in the owner's booth one time on TV.
Never forget. That was the Mexico game against the Patriots.
He's
himself in the private box with Cheeto dust all over his shirt.
You could take the cleanest human being, the neatest human being in the world, pop him in all white, and they're going to get something on him.
Yeah, yeah.
Something let alone happen. That maniac throwing food in his face. Just going out there. Not a smart guy, but one of the interesting things that came out was, and I'm not sure why it came out, but I guess when you got the guy signed, you might as well start talking about it, is that the Buccaneers are saying that Tom Brady pitched them for an hour and a half on why he's a good fit for the Buccaneers.
I have some of the clip here. This is Jason Light, the GM, who was almost kind of peacocking here. That he wanted us more than we wanted him.
As soon as Wednesday rolled around and we were able to talk to Tom Brady, we had a great conversation. Bruce and I, we talked to him for over an hour and a half, and he made it clear in the conversation that he was very, very interested. It was almost like a recruitment on his part, telling us why it would make sense for him to come to Tampa Bay. And the following day, we signed him, but it was at that phone call that we realized that we felt like, we had him.
It sounds a little cocky, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just seems like I don't know why you would say that. It just seems like something that would piss the guy off.
It sounds like something the GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would say, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Well, I mean, their team that just landed Tom Brady, I mean, he's doing something, but...
That's Bruce Arians. Let's be real here. That has nothing to do with this guy. That is because Bruce Arians has a reputation and is the kind of guy that players want to play for.
Well,
and
obviously,
because it's East Coast. So I mean,
well, obviously it's because no one wanted him, and that's got to be absolutely humiliating.
Well, the one team that wanted him was a major inconvenience for his family, him being on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So there's two teams that truly wanted him. And in fairness, two teams that he indicated had a chance, because I think the Raiders would have gone after him if he would have given them some sort of indication that he wanted to play for him.
I disagree. I think no, because I don't think so. Because they have Carr and they got Mariota, so I don't think that they were interested in Tom Brady.
They went after Mariota real quick.
Yeah,
they went after Mariota.
But Mariota would have been a backup no matter what, and I think that was a smart move to have as a backup. But I also believe that they would have done their due diligence in trading Derek Carr in a second if they found out that Tom Brady was truly interested. But I think that they never got that indication, according to reports.
By the way, guys, how many phone calls did Jason Light – I think Light's had the job 5 or 6 years at Tampa. How many phone calls, free agent phone calls, has he made where the free agent pitched him on coming to Tampa?
I'm going to imagine not a lot.
Yeah, probably almost never. It's a good point.
But if you're Brady, and we all thought so, that there was going to be, we thought this is going to be like the biggest news story, and Brady's going to go out, and he's going to get wined and dined, and, you know, people are going to fly him all over the country,
right,
and people are going to be, you know, looking at flight patterns. Remember when Peyton Manning, people would look at, like, flight patterns and figure out where he was going. So... Imagine then it comes out that you had to pitch the Buccaneers to take you. For 90 minutes, you had to sit there and pitch the team to take you.
You know who's truly dumb in all this? The Titans. They made a dumb move. I mean, we all know that this Ryan Tannehill experiment's going to backfire on him. And they went all in on him. And if they would have brought in Tom Brady would have fit into that system perfectly. Perfectly. And if you saw how far that they got last year, if they had Tom Brady, there's a chance that they make it to the Super Bowl. And I don't understand how you can take a look, if you're the GM of that team, and say, you know what, we should take a shot on this guy. I think that was dumb on their part, and I think they're going to regret it.
They obviously didn't think that he was an improvement. They obviously looked at the tape from last season and said, we don't want him.
Yeah, maybe. And you make a pretty good point, Fred, earlier, as you know, we were talking about Stidham, and he seems like he's going to be the guy, unless, of course, our mystery direct message guy says that Cam Newton is in talks right now, which,
indeed,
listen, he knows a guy who knows a guy who knows Cam's agent. So, but if it is Jared Stidham, you made a good point in that if Stidham makes these guys work, then you really got to rethink last year with Brady, because all the stat nerds say, and to be quite honest, you know, you could make a good argument this way, that it wasn't Tom Brady's fault. I mean, he had bad receivers, guys who never, you know, N'Keal Harry and stuff didn't play at the beginning of the season. They wasn't able to get the same page. Edelman's old, dropped a lot of balls, although he had a good season statistically. And if Stidham makes this crew work, then, yeah, you have to look at last season a little differently.
Think about this for a second. Now, Tennessee, obviously, they're for sustainability over the one-shot deal. They view – and Tannehill's young enough where you're like, okay, we got him for 4 years and maybe longer. And don't forget their general manager, John Robinson, spent 11 years with the Patriots as a scout. And I think he left here as the director of college scouting, 6-7 years ago. He's very familiar with Brady. He is scouting in his genes. He looked at that tape, and I agree with Fred. Tom Brady is not what he used to be. And he thinks that Tannehill from last year, even if he turns south, is as good as Brady was last season.
I mean, that has to be why. I mean, they gave Tannehill a lot of money. I mean, that has to be why.
Robinson wasn't a guy who worked for the Rams for a decade. He worked here for over a decade. Was in the same building as Brady during his prime chase it.
And you're right, John. That's why this season's going to be so interesting. Because, you know, Brady now is going to have no excuses. He's got an awesome arsenal of weapons around him. So he's got to succeed. Like, he's got to succeed down there. And if he doesn't, then you can officially go, all right, well, he's lost it. Because it was you got foggy messages this past year, and it was because the Patriots refused to put guys around him, or they ended up trying the Antonio Brown experiment, which, once again, I can't give them any credit for, because that was a Hail Mary thing that they didn't even know was going to happen until the first week of the season. So you're going to learn a lot about Tom Brady and just what he is this season, because now he's got no excuses.
Yeah, now he's got no excuses, and if Stidham can do anything offensively, have any success offensively as a rookie late-round pick or fourth-round pick, it's not going to make Brady look very good.
It's Stiddy, Fred. Come on, get the name right.
That's right. We're good friends, so just call him Stiddy.
It's Stiddy. It's what all the guys are calling him. Stids.
Yeah. It's Stids. It's come Ids. It's come Stid.
What's up with the ham? Stid ham.
That's right. Just am. What's up, am? All right. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Go beats on the chat.
Move, bitch. You got coronavirus. Ooh, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus.
Let's just play. We've only played it once.
No, don't play it.
Why?
There's a reason. Because at 8 o'clock, we have a replay that involves that gentleman.
Oh.
Yep, it's one of our best of brackets. Spoiler alert, it's when him and Zoe did play-by-play together.
Oh.
We don't want to saturate too much of him.
Well, for a tease, I mean, you could play... I mean, it's a...
let it roll. Why the hell not? Let's go for it.
If you can find it, the...
Just take that toilet paper off the shelf. I'll buy a dozen of them for myself. COVID-19 has us acting like dopes. I gotta buy all the gloves and soap. Don't try to go into a Walmart. You'll never even get your foot in the door. In 5 minutes, lines in back of the store. I gotta buy all the gloves and soap. Still gotta buy all the gloves and soap. All of this hoarding helps the masses cope. We'll quarantine ourselves and hold out hope. And buy up all the gloves and soap.
Here comes the solo, baby.
Gotta just let it ride, man. Nothing like hearing a studio musician shred on a parody song. Yeah.
Soap.
All of the gas prices are so low. Kind of ironic, cause there's nowhere to go. There's only one sure way that helps people cope. Start buying all of the gloves and soap. Lots of hand washing, do not touch your face. Let's social distance using 6 feet of space. COVID-19 has us acting like dopes. I gotta buy all the gloves and soap. Still gotta buy all the gloves and soap. All of this hoarding helps the masses cope. We'll quarantine ourselves and hold out hope. And buy up all the gloves and soap.
And then the ice fade out there in our household.
Yeah, and this is the time. Like he's like little brother, baby. I'm the talk of the town right now. don't step to me with your little show. I'm the people's mayor.
And then you've got people who are just. I mean, listen, I understand that everyone is trying to do something to entertain. And in some cases, it's people who are raising money. And that's always a good thing if they're trying
to. By the way,
you know,
the Backstreet Boys weren't singing on that song.
What are you talking about?
Did you see when they did I Want It That Way from their various homes?
I didn't click it, but I saw that they were doing that, yeah.
Okay, they're not singing. There's no way that they're singing.
Why wouldn't they? They all have good voices.
Because it's a backing track. There's like effects on their voices.
Well, you can have like effects go through your microphone if you're like at home.
I'm telling you that they're not singing. I'm telling you right now that they might be
conspiracy.
They might be singing, but there is a serious background track going on. The dude with the mustache, his kids are playing drums, and he can't hear them. I mean, let's be honest. I like the song. The sentiment, I guess, is great. But no, not singing. Going to tell you right now. You give that a listen. I was very offended. How dare you?
I will have to check on that. Which you said the guy with the mustache, talking Kevin Richardson, right?
The tall guy?
Yeah, that's Kevin, the rat. The shorter guy is AJ, I believe.
Yeah, AJ is like kind of like the baby faced. He's the fresh one. No, Howie. I'm sorry, Howie's the baby faced.
Yes,
AJ's Mr.
Yes.
Kane. He's got the cane. Nick Carter is the one with the brother who's got tattoos all over his face.
Right.
They've had the cops called him a million times. Brian Luttrell's just the forgettable one. Every boy band had one. Just like, who's that guy?
No, Brian Luttrell was like the blonde lead singer guy. Yeah.
No, I thought that Nick Carter was the lead singer.
No, Brian. Ryan Luttrell was the lead singer.
Nick Carter's the face. All I know is that Kevin Richardson wanted to kick my ass one time.
Oh, is that right?
I think I told you the story.
No.
Yeah, it was one time he came in studio and he was promoting having your colon cleansed. And he said, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. You should get your mother a colon cleanse. And I just started cracking up. And he looks at me, oh, you think that's funny? You know, people like die from colon cancer if they don't get their colon cleansed. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry. Listen, I'm not knocking that. But you said the words, give your mother a colon cleansing for Mother's Day. And how do you not laugh at that, man? And he got pissed.
That's pretty medically sound advice, too. You get yourself a colon cleanse and you're free and clear. There's no way you can get colon cancer if you shove some water up there.
All the risk of cancer, gone.
Yeah. And, hey, listen, you do not want to be on the wrong side of an evil gaze from a Backstreet Boy.
Well,
I mean, it rocked my world.
Well, I mean, did he chase you around in a golf cart like the dude from Nickelback did to me?
No, but that's great. No, I wish I had that story, but nope. You own that one, and that's a good one.
Now, speaking of face tattoos, have you guys seen the Little Peep? Documentary that's on Netflix.
No.
Who's Little Peep?
I didn't know either, but he's like this kid, this like 21-year-old kid who was like getting famous, and he's got tattoos all over his face, and he like OD'd. But it's actually an interesting documentary. I feel like I know what the kids are talking about now. They love fentanyl. That's what the kids are into right now. It's fentanyl. That's what they get into.
I'm looking at a picture of him. What is the word he has tattooed over his right eye?
Who knows, but I know he has an anarchy symbol on his face.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I mean, how long is this facial tattoo stuff going to last? Because people are, like, there's a certain age group that's, like, all in on facial tattoos. So, like, women got them. I'm trying to think of, like, how long this could possibly last. Because there was a time where, like, when we were kids, if you had a tattoo... Like, you were like, whoa, you got a tattoo.
Yeah.
And now everyone's got them. And so I'm just wondering how long these are going to be put on faces.
When you said face tattoo, I thought you were going to talk about this thing. Once again, you know, if it's raising money for a charity, then fine. But Post Malone is doing this. It's like a, what's it called? The ping pong ball into the cup. What the hell's that thing called?
When you hire a girl for your bachelor party?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's like a beer pong tournament. they're doing, and they have like a bracket of people who volunteered to do it. And as I said, if it's going for a charity, great, fine. But man, this tournament is just a douche magnet. I'm taking a look at some of the people. It's Trevor Bauer. First of all, of course, Gronk and Camille are doing it together. Travis Kelce, Johnny Manziel. Yeah. I'm looking around and I'm thinking, really, all this is missing is Baker Mayfield. And it, Tyler Sagan is on it. I mean, and there's a bunch of people that I don't even know. Danny Amendola, he's on it. So I'm sure that Edelman probably wished he was on it, but he's.
Oh yeah, you don't think Edelman wanted to be on it?
Ryan Lochte part of this?
I don't know. Ryan Lochte's not on it, but I mean, it's raising money for a good cause, so that's good. Okay. So that's fine.
They're all in different places playing beer pong?
Yeah. So I think the way they're going to have it set up is that there's going to be, you know, at home you set up your own beer pong thing and you do it on Instagram Live, and there's brackets and whoever ends up winning it gets like a big belt. And I think to be in it you had to donate money. And I don't know what charity it is, but it says it's going to go to the coronavirus somewhere, maybe a hospital or something like that, which that part of it's good. But I'm just looking at some of the names on here. It's like, whoa, it's like a douche magnet came to this thing. So
it's like Post Malone is like crazy famous right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a pretty D-list situation he's got going there. I mean, you know, you're bringing out Danny Amendola. You're bringing out Johnny Manziel.
Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer. Ooh, yeah. Trevor. That really is a collection of douches.
So it's just like, you know, at first I'm like, all right, well, it's not really a bad idea. It's not something I'd be into. And then I saw some of the list. I'm like, holy moly. Yeah. Trevor Bauer. At least he's got, like, you know, mad bars. You know? Oh, no. Where's it? Oh, here it is. This is Trevor Bauer rhyming.
Tell me that I'm black, a soul turned by attacks, woven and carved by peeps who are whack. A total package I strive, my soul is revived by all the others who are one of a kind. When they tell you you're nothing but behind, smack them in the face and tell them they're blind.
Yeah, that's worse than what 95% of our listeners could do.
I was beaten up in school, I was bullied, called a fool. Now I got slobber on my feet because all the females want to drool.
Oh. Drool school fool. Oh. That is some Dr. Seuss-esque. Drool school fool.
Drool school fool.
I hate when they say, like, they're going to rhyme and then, like, it's the most obvious thing and you're like, ew, why'd you have to do that? All right, Rich, coming up, you know, we're reliving some of the great moments of the show as everyone is cooped up in their homes, except for John, who bravely... ventures into the radio station. John, is there any word when people are going to return to the radio station?
Not really. At least another week. And then
Gosh. No. 2 weeks is supposed to be the peak. They're not coming back next week.
At least April 6th, and then we'll see. That was the last word we got, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a month. It's going to be a month till they open back up the office. There's no question.
So May 1st.
I mean, that's at least
a month would be May 1st, yep.
Yeah, because it's supposed to peak, in the middle of April. So May 1st, you would have to think. All right, and then, it's just completely empty.
Yeah, except for the other shows, you know, across the hall and around the corner. Yeah, there's nobody else here.
And when you're on the road, is there any other cars?
Yeah, but not many. Again, it's in Dan and Nick can attest to this, Mason too. It's basically us and the 18-wheelers that are passing through. That's all it is on the road now.
So lonely.
Yep.
So lonely. All right. We will be back, and we will have for you one of the magical moments from the show's history.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.